What's up, homeschoolers? Welcome back to A Heart for Homeschool podcast. I'm your host, Kendra Price, a former public school chemistry teacher turned homeschool mom to my four children. I'm in my eighth year of homeschooling, and one thing that I reevaluate every year is my homeschool curricula. I reevaluate homeschool curricula because each year is different. The needs of my children change, the priorities in our homeschool may shift slightly, where some things are emphasized or focused on more than others. And I've also learned that certain curricula and resources may be a better fit than others. Now, does that mean I'm always switching out curricula? Not necessarily, but I am always thinking about resources that can enhance learning. In last week's podcast episode, Ms. Phyllis, Tyra, and I discussed some overarching things to keep in mind when choosing curricula. Some of the things that came from our discussions were that we don't always need the traditional textbooks and workbooks. We also discussed the importance of not becoming a slave to the curriculum we choose, especially because as homeschool parents, we still want to embrace the freedom and organic learning that naturally occurs. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to our conversation in part one. I thought our discussion provided a lot of good advice and encouragement, especially to new homeschool parents who may be overwhelmed at the amount of resources out there. Today, I want to discuss some questions that you should ask yourself before choosing curriculum, and then I'll give you some tips on evaluating whether a specific curriculum is a good option for your family. Before we deep dive into choosing curricula for our homeschool, there are three important questions that we should ask ourselves. Number one, what homeschool educational methodology do I subscribe to? Am I an unschooler? Am I a Charlotte Mason homeschooler? Am I an eclectic homeschooler or a traditional homeschooler? If you aren't sure of what homeschool methodology you subscribe to, I would encourage you to learn more about the basic ones by listening to episode 4 of my podcast titled Learning Styles and Homeschool Methods. Your homeschool method can help you to narrow your focus to the curricula that fits your methodology. For example, if you're an unschooler, you may not want a box curriculum that has all the workbooks, textbooks, and assessments. But if you're a traditional homeschooler, this may be right up your alley. If you are a Charlotte Mason homeschooler, you may prefer curricula that is literature-based primarily and provides you as a parent with a lot of opportunities to discuss what your children have read. If you are an eclectic homeschooler like myself, you may use a number of different resources and materials to educate your child on different subjects. For example, when my two older daughters were in middle school, I chose not to use a box curriculum for literature. Instead, I created a book list of classic books and more modern books based on their age and certain themes that I wanted them to explore. I found a number of free study guides available online and supplemental activities on Pinterest, and voila, there was our literature curriculum. I remember us reading The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, for example, and they created lap books using a free lap book printable that's available online. We found a recipe for Turkish delight and we tried to make it. It was an epic fail, but it was a lot of fun. And then we also ordered Turkish Delight on Amazon to taste the real thing. And we had a number of great discussions surrounding the book. We were able to study the time period surrounding the Pevensey children and why they had to leave London and move to the countryside. Although I didn't choose to use a formal literature curriculum that year, we did have a formal history, math, and science curriculum. Another question to ask yourself is how much technology do you want to incorporate into your homeschool? There are some homeschool parents who prefer a technology-free homeschool, but for those who are open to incorporating technology, there are some things to consider. Do you want to use apps to supplement your homeschool? Some of our favorite apps have been Starfalls, Adventure Academy, PBS Kids videos, and learning games. And these apps have really helped me with my younger kids because when I'm teaching or helping one child, the other can use these apps with headphones. And while these apps are fun, I can feel comfortable that they are still engaged and learning. And I can also limit how much time they spend on these apps. Of course, because there are a number of parental controls available with the iPad. Another question in terms of technology, do you want to use self-paced learning software or videos? My oldest daughter used Dive and Saxon Math for Algebra 1 and 2, and she had a lot of success with that. Another popular self-paced learning platform is Time for Learning, which covers a number of subjects from elementary to high school. And then there's also teaching textbooks for math. Now, we tried teaching textbooks for my second oldest daughter twice, and it just did not work for her. But I've heard consistent rave reviews about it. What actually has worked in terms of math and self-paced online classes or whatnot for math for my second oldest has actually been me recording lessons via Zoom, using the whiteboard to write, and using the BJU Press math curriculum. So I'll record the lessons and she'll watch and take notes on her own schedule and time each week. And then I go back and check her work and we move on. So self-paced can be a number of different things. It can look like a number of different things. While this has been successful for us in terms of like the Zoom and using BJU Press Math, we've tried self-paced videos and lessons with other things for my second oldest, and it hasn't always worked. It was a bust. So finding what works for your child in terms of learning software and videos is something else you might want to consider. And then the third thing is, does my child need live classes with a live teacher? I've spoken about HSLDA Academy in the previous episode titled Homeschool Laws and HSLDA, where I shared a little of my oldest two daughters' experiences with HSLDA Academy. But there are a number of online academies and classes that offer a live teacher with live instruction. OutSchool is one extremely popular platform for both self-paced and teacher-led classes, for example. And there are a number of online academies that have popped up because so many people, due to COVID, have pulled their children and are looking for online options that allow them to work and homeschool. I'll be discussing things to look out for when trying to find online courses for your homeschooler in a future episode, because there's more to this topic than meets the eye. Ultimately, your chosen homeschool methodology and how you incorporate technology into your homeschool are definitely things that you want to consider when it comes to choosing homeschool curriculum. But now I want to switch gears. I want to offer some practical advice when it comes to looking at the more traditional textbook or book-based curricula. I relied heavily on textbooks and books to learn throughout my formal homeschool or school years, because I wasn't homeschooled, I was public school. But I heavily relied on textbooks and books, and the teacher was almost an afterthought for me, except for math. I'll confess that I love books, workbooks, and textbooks, and I consider myself a reformed curriculum junkie. I could always justify hoarding a ton of different curricula, more than my children would ever use. There's just so much available, but I'm here to warn you that everything that comes in shrink-wrapped packaging is not gold, not because a specific curriculum you may choose is not well put together, but everything doesn't work for everybody, and you have to discover what works for your children. I had to discover that just because I love books, workbooks, and textbooks to learn doesn't mean that that's what's best for my children either. So here are a few questions that I typically ask myself when evaluating the more traditional book-based and workbook curriculum. And these questions have served me well, because some things that I might choose for myself, as I said, has not worked for my kids. And knowing how my children best learn and what fits them up front has saved me a lot of headache and money. So the first question that I ask myself is, does the curriculum I'm looking at cater to my child's learning style? So you have to know, is your child an auditory learner? Does the curriculum you provide have a recorded CD, maybe for your child to listen to a lesson as they follow along with the book? Is your child a kinesthetic learner? For example, does your child need manipulatives or labs or things to do that's hands-on to help your child to learn? Or is your child a visual learner? Does your child need books and charts and color-coded things and posters and diagrams to help your child learn? So when you look at curriculum, you want to look at it in terms of how your child learns best. The second question that I often ask myself when looking at curriculum is, how much work do I want to do? So is the curriculum teacher-led with a lot of prep work on my end, or is it student-led with little to no prep work? I have been guilty of falling in love with curricula that has a lot of moving parts, that has a lot of different pieces to it that require me to pull a lot of different things together for each lesson. And in a lot of cases, I've discovered that that does not work for me. If I have to be the person that's pulling all of these different materials together for one lesson rather than, say, an open and go type of situation, that doesn't work for me. So you want to consider how much work you're willing to do and how much work you're willing to do each week to prep for these lessons. There have been some curriculum that has a number of different parts, but it is student-led, meaning that the child is the one pulling from these different sources and they're the ones using it, and that has worked better. So just because you see all of these bright, shiny parts to a curriculum doesn't necessarily mean that it will be a good fit for you. A third question that I ask when looking at curriculum is, can I afford this curriculum each year? Because there are some things that are pretty expensive. So I ask myself, what is the resale value? If I spend all this money, can I sell it back because it's popular? Can I put it on marketplace and sell it? Or can I sell it at a local co-op? Does it have a good sellback value? Can I find it cheaper? Can I find it on Amazon or Rainbow Books? Or can I find it on sale at christianbook.com? Because if I'm spending an arm and a leg for one specific curriculum each year, it may not be worth it. Another question that I ask myself when it comes to cost is, can I use it for multiple children? This is a critical question for larger families, because if I'm going to invest in a pricey curriculum, a huge benefit of that investment is, how much use can I get out of it? Does it have differentiated learning? Meaning, can I use it together with a younger child and an older child together? Do they have activities with the curriculum that cater to a child, say, that is not a strong writer, but another child who is a strong writer and reader? So these are all questions. And remember, curriculum is a baseline. You can and you should supplement with projects and field trips, essays, YouTube videos, and a ton of online resources. But curriculum is a baseline. It should not be a ball and chain. We are at the end of this episode. I hope I offered you some more helpful suggestions when it comes to choosing homeschool curricula. I want to also invite you to visit my website, www.aheart4homeschool.com, where I am using my love for homeschool curricula to write honest, thorough reviews with the Melanated Gold Review Squad. And I also want to invite you to visit the Melanated Gold Homeschool Magazine, which features homeschooling families of color and provides all kinds of helpful information that is beneficial to your homeschool life and the larger homeschool community.